How contented are you? Are you a contented person? Interesting to know how you'd answer that question. If we had a means of calculating our contentment, and we took an average of this group of people here, I suspect that we would be well above the average in the world around us. There's a lot of discontent out there. Why would we be above the average? Well, because we know the score. We've had the teaching. We've had the example. Didn't Paul say, whatever the circumstances, I have learned to be content? And it has to be learned. The fear of God and contentment is very important. And Paul saw that throughout his teaching. John the Baptist said to the soldiers, be content with your pay. Contentment is very important. But in the world at large, there's a lot of discontent, isn't there? All around us, we find people who are discontented. The psychologists tell us that at about this time of year, most of us get to our lowest point. Even the politicians a few years ago talked about a winter of discontent, didn't they? Even people who seem to have everything can be very easily discontented. They want more. They become grasping. A rich man was once asked, how much money do you have in order to call yourself rich? And he said, just a little bit more. And that's the way, isn't it? The more they have, the more they want. I'd like us this morning to think about the cause of this discontent. Because in seeking out the cause of discontent, we will find that for Christians, God has got something much more for us than mere contentment. And in order to see that, I want us to turn now to the prophet Jeremiah. Now, that's a book we don't often turn to, do we? We think of Jeremiah as a bit of a prophet of doom and gloom, but actually he didn't want to be a prophet. He's very reluctant to do it, but God told him, this is what you've got to do. And throughout his teaching, you find him continually saying, the word of the Lord came to me. And what he says is straight from God. So we're going to have a look at the prophet Jeremiah. Shall we read this together? This is what the Lord says. What fault did your fathers find in me that they strayed so far from me? They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. They didn't ask, where is the Lord who brought us up out of Egypt and led us through the barren wilderness, through the land of deserts and rifts, a land of drought and darkness, a land where no one travels and no one lives? I brought you into a fertile land to eat its fruit and rich produce. But you came and defiled my land and made my inheritance detestable. The priests didn't ask, where is the Lord? Those who deal with the law did not know me. The leaders rebelled against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal, following worthless idols. In other words, he's saying, you've been following idols. Your discontent has led you to idol worship. And this has made you worshipping things which are worthless and made you worthless in the process. Even your leaders didn't lead you in the proper direction. So they're in a pretty dire strait. And this nation was facing disaster. Now Jeremiah sums up very concisely their problem in two basic sins. Let's read them. The people's sins. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Now he's picking up here on something which for the people in that land would probably have been fairly easily seen. These cisterns were reservoirs that people built to collect water, because when rain only falls for a few months of the year, you've got to collect as much as you can if you're going to survive. And so they built these cisterns, small reservoirs, to collect water. Now in this statement here, the way he's expressing these sins, he's used water because water is so essential to life, isn't it? Something like 60% of our body mass is water. Isn't that amazing? Boil yourself down and you just reduce your weight by 60% straight away. So it's important, isn't it? But we very rarely experience thirst. I've read a number of accounts of men surviving in lifeboats at sea, and their descriptions of their thirst is absolutely agonizing. To see all this water around them, and they know they must not touch it, and just got to wait for a bit of rain, the thirst that hits them is tremendous. I doubt whether we ever experience real thirst like that. We make sure we don't, do we? Because we build in coffee breaks and tea breaks all day long, so we never really experience thirst. We're going to have one in a few minutes. So we don't actually experience that thirst. So what he's asking you to consider here in this picture, he's illustrating a spiritual point here, describing a picture from ordinary everyday life to start with. He's asking us to imagine these people digging their cisterns, sometimes in very hard rock in hot weather, to catch the water. And sometimes these cisterns don't hold it, they break, the water flows away, and then they're sunk. Well, they're not sunk, but they're nothing to sink in, but they go very thirsty. Now, what he's asking us to do is to think of these people hacking away at this rock, digging their cisterns to hold the water, and they're not very good at that, when all the time there is a stream of running pure water just beside them. Now we have to see the ridiculous nature of that picture in order to grasp the spiritual truth that he's telling us. People hacking away, wasting their time, digging these cisterns, which are not very good anyway, what they're designed for, and all the time there's a stream of living water, a stream of running water right beside them. And once we've grasped how stupid and ridiculous that is, we're ready to understand the spiritual truth that he's telling us. What is the spiritual truth? There's simply this, that we are created by God with an inner spiritual thirst, a thirst which can only be satisfied by God himself. The psalmist said, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." God has created us with a spiritual thirst. So, what I'd like to do this morning is to look first of all at the cause for people's discontent in life. Then we're going to consider what the remedy for that is. And then we're going to look at what God has in store for Christians, which goes far beyond mere contentment. So everybody has got this spiritual thirst. The only question is, how do we satisfy it? The problem in Jeremiah's day was that they were discontented, they had this spiritual thirst within them, and they tried to satisfy it by turning to idols. Why would a person turn to idolatry? Well, you get a hint of it, don't you, and you go back to the time of Moses. Remember when Moses was up on the mountain, the people came to Aaron and said, look, build it, make us an idol. We want to have something that we can see and worship. Why would they do that? Because they were discontented with what the real God, the true God, was telling them. They would say, well, look, this God that Moses is talking about, we can't see him. We don't know what he's up to. We only hear what he's saying through Moses. He's not doing all that we want him to do. We're pretty discontented with what's happening to us. We're out here in the wilderness. We don't want to be wandering around in a wilderness like this. We're fed up with the grub. Perhaps it would have been better to be back in Egypt. That's the way they were thinking. And that's why they turned to idolatry. And it was the same in Jeremiah's day, a couple of centuries later. Well, what was the cause then? We can perhaps flick on now to the answer to that question. Broken systems. They were spiritually thirsty, and they were trying to satisfy that thirst through systems which didn't hold the water. In other words, they were making their own gods. Well, what was the remedy to this? The remedy is to see that the streams of water that God provides us, spiritual water, living water, are readily available. And to see this, we perhaps can recall the story of the woman at the well. You remember how Jesus spoke to her about this living water? She was a bit confused at first because she didn't understand what he was talking about. She thought he was talking about ordinary water. But once she realized who he was, then she began to understand about the living water, and it transformed her life. But first, she had to get rid of her broken systems. And for her, that was seeking to satisfy her spiritual thirst by an endless relationships with men. And she had to understand that, see it first, before she could come to Jesus for this living water. And when she did, it just bubbled out of her. She told all her friends and neighbors about this man she had met, the man called Jesus. Augustine was a pillar of the church in the 5th century, and he started life by being a very promiscuous young lad, and it was at that time that he prayed a prayer which has become rather famous and associated with his name. He said, Lord, make me chaste, but not just yet. Well, shortly after that, he became a real Christian. He understood about repentance and faith in Christ. And then he uttered other words, which again are associated with his name and really sum the whole thing up. He says, God has made us for himself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in him. So then, the remedy is to experience the living water, the life of Jesus within. That's the answer. But the Lord wants us Christians to go way beyond mere contentment. If we could look at the next verse. This is Jesus speaking in John 7. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given. those who believe in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will come flowing from him. We don't know what scripture, there's no general agreement as to what scripture Jesus was thinking of here. It may well have been this one from the prophet Jeremiah, the broken cisterns and the living water flowing right beside them. Streams of living water will come flowing out from him. Now, I wonder how we feel when we see that kind of thing. There was a group of very godly men set up a confession of faith in the 17th century, which contains the phrase, "The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever." It's God's plan that we live a life of contentment, enjoying him. There's loads of scriptures to remind us of this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, says the Apostle Paul. We're meant to enjoy God and be contented with life. But when we read that, we see that Jesus is talking about something more than mere contentment. He's telling us that this living water that we're receiving to make us content, this has got to do more than just make us content. It's got to flow out from us. Streams of living water will come flowing out from every Christian, everyone who believes in him. Now, I wonder how we feel when we read that kind of thing. When we ask ourselves, are streams of water flowing out through me? And what does it mean anyway? Well, he tells us what it means. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time they hadn't received it. So when Jesus is talking about the streams of living water flowing out, he's thinking ahead to Pentecost. And we know what happened at Pentecost. People were so filled with the Spirit they couldn't stop speaking about Jesus. And they stood up and boldly and professed his name. Now, when we look at ourselves and we ask ourselves, am I contented? Well, hopefully, yes, we know the score. We know how to be contented. We know about these streams of living water contenting us. That's right. But what about these streams of living water flowing out from us like this? Do we know that? I suspect most of us, as I do, think, no, I haven't got to that stage yet. So what do we do? Do we just say, well, that's something rather ideal and remote in the distance, perhaps we'll think about it sometime? Or do we try and take steps to understand it more, to become aware of these streams of living water that are supposed to be flowing through us? What should we do? Let me suggest one or two steps we can take, perhaps to begin to understand this. First of all, we've got to ask ourselves, are there any broken cisterns in my life? Now, this is at a point which Christians in the history of the church have very often gone astray. They've thought, well, it's not right for me to enjoy anything in this life. That's wrong. I must only enjoy spiritual things, and that's asceticism, and that's nothing to do with real Christianity. God wants us to enjoy things in this world. But we will know deep down in our hearts if there's anything in this life which is taking the place of God. Of course it's good for us to enjoy music, climbing hills, playing sport, all these things. They're fine. They're good relaxation things to do. But we will know if anything like that is taking the place of God. And we've got to watch it, haven't we? So we need to have a look at our broken cisterns, just like that woman at the well. She was carrying on with men too much. But maybe, okay, we've done that. But maybe there are things which hit us from outside. Nothing to do with our desires going overboard. Something comes to us from outside. Nothing to do with us. We haven't organized it. It isn't our fault at all. It just comes and hit us and drains us of energy. We think, well, how can streams of living water flow out through me now with this thing hitting me? Well, let's go back to Jeremiah. He was talking to a nation who was facing disaster. in dire straits. But he's able to look ahead and see that God had a plan for them. If we can just look at that. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Well, he may have been regarded as a prophet of doom and gloom, but he was able to see ahead like this to the plan that God had for these people, even though they were going through a very rough time at that time, partly due to their own sin, but partly due to nations fighting against them. So God saw the plan ahead. So what can we do? Well, we've had a look to see if we've got any broken systems in our life. That should be fairly clear. Maybe things have hit us from the outside which we don't understand. Let's be ready to pray and ask God to show us how he wants these streams of living water to flow through. And what we could do, we could take a step right in here in chapel this morning here. If we each of us brought before us, held in the forefront of our mind, the thing that concerns us most at the moment, I don't think any one of us will have any difficulty in doing that. And ask God, Lord, how do you want your life to flow through me like streams of living water into that very situation? I think if we do that, we may not immediately notice the streams flowing through, but we will notice a difference in that thing that we have raised before him this morning. So if we could perhaps just have a look at the final chart with all the answers there. Cause of discontent, broken systems, making our own gods. The remedy, experience the living water, the life of Jesus within. What God has in store for us beyond all this, experience his life streaming through. And if, like me, most of us feel, I'm not in that position at the moment, I'm not experiencing streams of living water, I may be content, but I'm not experiencing the streams of living water, can we make a step now that's going to make a difference in our life by bringing in the forefront of our minds the things that are concerning us most at this moment? Pray believing prayer, praying believing that the Lord is going to answer our prayers. If we pray that earnestly this morning, God will answer, and we will see the beginnings of the streams, because that situation will change. Let's pray together now. Lord, we recall your words that you want streams of living water to flow through us as it did on that day of Pentecost. And Lord, when we look at our lives, we see at best a little trickle. And Lord, we know that you want us to experience more than just mere contentment with our lives. So Lord, as we hold up before you now the things in our lives which are concerning us most, Lord, we ask now that you will show us how you want these streams of living water to flow out from us into that situation. Lord, help us to be aware of your Spirit within and how you want that life of the Spirit to flow out from us. And Lord, we know that when we pray like this to you in earnest, you're going to answer. And Lord, we're going to be looking for that answer in these coming days. So, Lord, be with us, we pray. Help us to know more about this living water. In Jesus' name, amen.